You know, a few weeks ago, this pandemic sent our world and all of our lives in a different direction. We were in the book of Hebrews. I was preaching a series entitled Jesus is Better. It was written to some very discouraged, struggling Christians. And the writer of Hebrews was writing to them to don't give up, don't quit. Jesus is better. And the verse we were at that very week when everything changed was Hebrews 6:19. I think it was a verse that the Lord has given me and maybe most of all of us during this time. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And I want to remind you that we have an anchor during these storms of our life. That anchor is Jesus Christ. Hold on to this anchor. He's firm and secure. Well, we're in the third week of a series entitled Finding Peace in a Pandemic. And there's this verse in Proverbs we've seen, Proverbs 12:25, that says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And of course, there's a lot of anxiety in people's hearts. You can just sense the heaviness. But it reminds us that we can speak a good word, but not only that, we have a good word that's spoken to us through God's word and through Jesus. And a good word makes us glad. You know, last week I told you that there were two reasons why we were anxious. And those two reasons are, well, we lack knowledge. We don't know what's going to happen. The future's so uncertain, and we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we lack power. We don't have any control. We don't know what we can do. We can't change anything. And that causes a lot of anxiety. Well, last week we were looking at this story in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus calms the storm. It had been a long and difficult day for Jesus, and he had been teaching in a boat right off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And at the end of the day, he tells his disciples, let's sail over to the other side. And they sail right into a storm. And there's a lot that we can learn from that story. Let me just remind you of a few things we learned from Mark chapter 4. Here's the first thing. There are some things that can only be learned about God and ourselves in a storm. We can learn some things in a calm seat on the shore, but there are things about God and ourselves we can only learn during a storm. And so let me ask you, what are you learning about God and yourself during this storm, during this pandemic? That God's wanting to teach you things about himself. He's wanting you to learn some things about yourself. And these are the lessons that we looked at last week from Mark chapter 4. Here's the first one. It's in the storm that we are tempted to doubt God's love and power. And I imagine every one of us have been tempted during this time to wonder where God is and question whether or not he really does care about us or whether he really does have the power to change things. We also saw that faith is not compatible with fear, that faith and fear and worry and anxiety can't go together. And let me remind you what we're talking about when we talk about fear and we talk about biblical anxiety and worry. And that is carrying the concerns of this world in such a way that we lose perspective on life and lack trust in God. That we have concerns in this world, but we carry them in such a way that causes us to lose perspective and to lack trust in God. That's fear, that's worry, that's an anxiety in life. Well, you know, the story just continues in Mark chapter 5. And that's where I want us to pick up and look at what the Lord's telling us during this time, that where we can find some peace from the story he tells us. Follow along in your Bible in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one can bind him, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And we saw Jesus from afar. He ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, or I beg you, I plead with you, by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, well, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. and he begged him earnestly not to send them out into the country. And now there was a great herd of pigs that were feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned into the sea. The herdsmen fled and told in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that happened. And then they came to Jesus and they saw the demon-possessed man again, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to them and what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from that region. And as he was getting to the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And yet he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was marveled or amazed at what had happened. You know, this is one of the strangest stories in all of the Bible. We don't always understand it, but hopefully we can be able to make the connection of how it speaks to us in the storms of our life. And really, it's a strange passage of scripture to be using on this particular Sunday, Palm Sunday, but hopefully we can make the connection. You know, Mark 4 and 5 are the continuation of several stories. There's four miracles that take place in these two chapters, and there's one theme that runs through Mark 4 and 5. And that is, Jesus is the master over every situation, and he's the conqueror or the victor over every enemy. And if you trust him, you never have to be afraid. You never have to be anxious. And so victory's the theme that runs all through Mark 4 and 5. And so when we get to Mark chapter 5, we find now that they've sailed through the storm. They've made it to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And there's three points or three challenges I want to show you from this story. And the first one is that Satan wants you to live in bondage, but recognize the power of Satan at work. So Satan wants to bind you. He wants you in bondage. Recognize the power of Satan at work. And so we read in those first few verses that they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and that's the region of the Gentile area. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he had wrenched them or he had broken them all apart. He broke out of the shackles. No one had the strength to subdue him. And night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Here's a desperate man. And the question always is, well, is he demon-possessed or is this a way in the ancient world they talked about someone with a mental illness? And the truth is that what we need to understand and avoid is going to extremes. There are those that want to attribute every evil, every bad thing that happens in life to Satan and to his demons. And it becomes almost a superstition. But on the other extreme, there are those who entirely ignore any demonic or any spiritual things that are happening around us and deny it completely as almost its non-existence. And the truth is that there is a demonic world and Satan is alive and well. And I think there's a lesson to learn in the storm, and it's the storm that's going on in this person's life. And that lesson is there is a real devil. He's alive and he's seeking to destroy you. And here we see the devil's strategy. You see, first of all, he has him isolated. He's all by himself in the tombs. He's disconnected. All by himself. And if the devil can ever take you and isolate you and disconnect you from others and leave you all alone, he knows that you're easy prey for him. And I especially want to encourage you again, during this time of social distancing and we're not able to connect in person like we usually are, it's important to stay connected in every way with others. Don't let the devil isolate you and get you all by yourself. And then the second strategy of the devil is he's tormenting him day and night. And the results of that is, well, it's destruction. It's self-destructive behavior that's taking place. And so in Mark chapter 4, just as there was a storm that was taking place in nature, we really see now this person that inside of him there is an emotional storm that's taking place, a spiritual storm that's brewing with inside him. And within him there is this internal bondage. You know, on the outside, he looks free. He can't even be shackled. He breaks every chain, and nothing can hold him. And he has this almost complete illusion of freedom. Matter of fact, he's so free, he doesn't even wear clothes. But on the inside, there's this bondage spiritually that's taking place. There's always a spiritual dimension to suffering and evil. And I want to remind you, there's a spiritual dimension to what we're experiencing today in this pandemic that we're living through. I think the devil is always trying to exploit and intensify the suffering and evil that people are going through. And I've got no question that he's trying to do that very thing today in our world. He might even be trying to do that in your life. But we have to realize that we're in a war. And sometimes we don't even know we're in a war. But we have to remember we're in a spiritual war. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Don't give the devil the slightest little foothold, a beachhead in your life by harboring up the emotion of anger. And don't open yourself up to the devil coming in and intensifying that. Or listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." It's as if Peter is telling us, even in this day, all around the world, we're going through the same kind of suffering. And be on alert, be aware, the devil is prowling around like a lion, looking for someone he can just devour, someone's life that he can destroy. Don't let Satan use this time to drive you into deeper bondage. And that's exactly what he's striving to do. He just doesn't want to make you sick. He wants you to hate God for making you sick. It's not that he just wants you to sin, but he wants to draw you further and further away from God into deeper bondage. It's not that he just wants you to indulge yourself. He wants you to become addicted and enslaved, ultimately to destroy your family and your Christian witness. It's not that he just doesn't want you, he wants you to grieve, but he wants you to grieve as if there were no hope. He wants to convince you that life isn't even worth living. It's not that he just wants you to compare yourself to other people. He wants to make you hate yourself and drive you into despair and ultimately into safe harm. This is what Satan is trying to do. His goal is for you to live in bondage and have him over you in every way. But here's the second thing I want you to see, that Jesus came to set you free. Receive Christ's freedom. And so let's read again verse 6. It says, "When this man saw Jesus from afar, he ran to Jesus and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you,'" or again, "'I implore you, I beg you by God, do not torment me.'" In verse 8, "For he was saying to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And then Jesus asked him, 'Well, what's your name?' And he said, 'Well, my name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly not to send them out into the country. And now there were a great herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us into the pigs. Let us enter them. Well, Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out, and they entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000. And they rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. And so this is what I want you to see. First of all, Jesus has power over the enemy, and that Jesus shows up and the demons panic. The man ran out to Jesus with these unclean spirits that were in him. And the first thing that Jesus does is he speaks. He just speaks his word. It reminds me of the story we saw last week in Mark chapter 4, where in the midst of the storm that's taking place on the Sea of Galilee and the winds and the waves, Jesus just speaks his word to them and they become calm. And in this situation, Jesus just speaks his words. It's the words of the good news. It's the words of the gospel. And they ask him, well, what is your name? And they say, Legion. Now, in the Roman army, a legion is the largest group of soldiers. It's a number between 5,000 and 6,000 soldiers in the Roman army. I think what the point is, that not that there's thousands and thousands of demons that are within this person, but the point is this. Just like the Roman army had invaded Palestine, these demonic forces in great numbers have invaded this world, and they attack our lives, seeking to put us into bondage and to destroy us. And then we see that in verses 10, 11, and 12, 13, that the pigs then ask permission, and Jesus then tells them to go, and they go into the sea and to the pigs, and then the pigs run off into the sea. And I just want to show you what it looks like. You go to that region today, and this is where this all took place. This is the Sea of Galilee, and this is the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee called Cursi. This is the Gerasene area. This is the area of the Gentiles. This is where the cliffs were taking place. And where the pigs ran off the cliff and they died. And in this picture here, you can see the cliffs, and this is the area in which all of this had taken happen. So you can see there are 2,000 pigs infested with these demons that run off of those cliffs and drown into the sea. It's a bizarre story. It's a strange story. But let me tell you, I want you to be sure you understand what just happened in this story. Right then, there was destroyed an entire industry. The whole economic system for that region just collapsed. People's livelihoods, people's investments, people's paychecks just ran off the cliffs and were destroyed. Jesus just came and disrupted the entire economy to rescue one person. And what that tells us is how valuable one person is to Jesus Christ. And where does the value come of just one person? Well, it comes because we are created in the image of God. And that's where our value and our worth comes from. You know, we know it's true because that's what we see happening today. We've taken these extreme measures and it's disrupted our whole society, our whole economy. Everything in our lives has been disrupted. Why? Well, because of the value of human life, of trying to save lives from being destroyed by death. So we do social distancing. We put stay-at-home orders in place. We don't meet and worship together. We don't gather together in any way. And that's because human life is valuable. You know, some people believe that the reason there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4 is that Satan sent that storm trying to keep Jesus from making the destination on the other side to reach this person and ultimately reach many more people with the new good news of the gospel. That's how valuable one person is in the eyes of God. That's how valuable you are to God. Now, I want you to see another thing that's running through this story. It's the theme of uncleanliness. this, everything that runs through the story is this story. And I think it's the point of the story of these things that are unclean. There's this unclean region. There's these unclean people. By Jewish standards, these are Gentiles. And we know they're Gentiles because they're raising pigs. And so you have these unclean people in this unclean area. We have this man with an unclean spirit. He's living among the tombs, which is an unclean place, because in Jewish law, to touch a corpse or touch anything associated with the dead would be unclean. And what we mean by unclean, in God's word, anything unclean means it's not suitable to be in the presence of God. In other words, it's contaminated. It's been infected. It's been contaminated by sin, and it's not suitable to be in God's presence. But yet here we see Jesus. He meets a man with an unclean spirit. He's living in an unclean place among unclean things, and yet Jesus shows up. Now what's happening here? Well, this is a place where the presence of God should not be, yet Jesus goes anyway. And I think what that means for us is that we realize that we are unclean by God's standards of righteousness. We try on our own to make ourselves worthy to be in the presence of God and for God to be in our presence. So we try to be as good as we can and do as many good things as we can. Or we try to compare ourselves to others and we think that maybe compared to someone else, I'm not that bad. But the truth is, our goodness is never good enough. We are never suitable to be in God's presence. But yet, this is where you see a picture of the gospel in this story. Jesus shows up among unclean people to reach an unclean person. And he shows up to bring forgiveness. He shows up to bring freedom. And that's exactly what he does for you. And so on this Palm Sunday, this is the connection I want you to see as we go on to Holy Week, that Jesus changes places. He switches places with this man. And by the time you get to the end of Mark's gospel, we read where Jesus is in a tomb after dying on the cross in our place to pay for our sins. It's the only cure for this pandemic of sin. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And yet he rose from that tomb victorious over Satan, sin, and death. And there we find Jesus now in the tomb so we can be released from that. Now, how do we have that in our lives? How do we get that in our lives? Because we need the presence and the power of Jesus in our life. Well, how do we do that? Well, I take you back to the very first verses of Mark chapter 5, and where we read in Mark 5, verse 2, where it says, the man with the unclean spirit came out of the tombs. He took that first step, and he came towards Jesus. And that's how all of us come to Jesus. It's a single step of coming out from that sin that holds us in bondage and stepping towards Jesus out into the light of his love and his forgiveness. You'll never find freedom in the dark. You have to let go of your fear, let go of your pride, let go of whatever it is that's keeping you from coming to Jesus, because he has that freedom that he wants to give you. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see from this story, that people need you to tell your story. Tell them. Tell them your story. Tell them how your life has been changed. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. So let's pick up the story again in verse 14. It says, the herdsmen fled, and they told it in the city and the country. And the people came to see what had happened. They came back with this remarkable story of just what had happened there. So everybody rushes out to see what had happened. It says, and they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion. He was sitting there. You can almost imagine he's clothed. He's got his clothes on. He's clean, and he's in his right mind. And they were terrified. They'd seen such a transformation take place, they didn't know what was happening. And then verse 16, and those who had seen it described it to them and what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And so they begin to tell the story of what had happened there. But you get down to verse 17. And so they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting to the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged Jesus that he might be with him. And yet it says, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, why don't you go home? Go home to your friends, to your family, and tell them your story. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And then he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, or this region of 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. You know, I think this is one of the greatest pictures of the transformation and that takes place in a person's life when they receive Jesus Christ and what the gospel can do for a person. It's what the gospel can do for you and me by the grace of God. This wonderful picture that's taking place, transformation. What's interesting about this story, you probably picked up on, is that the people then begged Jesus to leave. The people didn't want Jesus to stay around them. And you know why? Well, one reason is Jesus was bad for business. It just cost them their livelihoods and their money. And they just didn't want Jesus staying around them, costing them anymore. And this is a lesson learned. Jesus never stays where he's not wanted. You can only imagine the opportunity that was lost to all of these people. Well, the healed man, the demon-possessed man that now has been transformed, well, he longs to be with Jesus. He begs to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, no. No, I want you to stay right here. You have a story to tell. You have a story of grace. You have a story of a changed life. Now go tell others about it. You know, the truth is, some people are called to go and they become missionaries and go to faraway places. Far many of us are called to stay and to be missionaries right where we are. I was thinking how this applies to us as a church, and I was thinking about our mission as a church. And this is what we say our mission is, that we're impacting people to experience a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. The kind of relationship with Jesus Christ that this person we just described experienced. The life-changing experience that hopefully you've experienced in your life. Or the life experience, the life-changing experience that you know people need to experience in their life. And so here are ways that you can do that during this time. You can sort of become a digital missionary. And your online presence, your social media, inviting people to worship with you online. There's unprecedented opportunity for so many people to let their faith in your stories to be told. Right now on social media and other ways of doing that. And the way that that happens is, well, two ways. You pray to be free from the penalty of sin. If you've never done that, you just pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. And he comes in and cleanses you. And you take that grace that we see that's happening during this Holy Week and climaxes on the cross and the resurrection to free us from the penalty of sin. And then, if you've done that, you may not be living in that freedom. You may still be caught up in some bondage. Well, you pray then to live in that freedom. And so I want to pray with you right now that you can experience that freedom in your life. You have a wonderful story to tell. Jesus has come to set you free. Experience that freedom. And then tell others that story that you have. And then if you pray this prayer today, if there's any way we can help you, be sure to let us know. Well, let's pray together. Father, you've shown us in this story a picture of why you came. And the focus of this week for us is it climaxes with the ultimate goal. You came so that we might have eternal life, to ransom us, to pay for our sins that we can never pay for. You came to save us. And Father, we focus on that all week, coming to Good Friday. And ultimately, when we meet again on Easter Sunday. And Father, I pray right now for every person that's never experienced that freedom from this penalty and the guilt of sin, that Father, they would receive it now. And I would just pray a simple prayer. You know, Jesus, I just pray that you would forgive me of my sins, and I trust you now the best I know how, and I don't understand everything, but I just trust you and ask you to forgive my sins and invite you into my life. And then for others, Father, who are praying, release me from this bondage of this addiction, this guilt. And Father, I trust you, and I want to experience the freedom that you have for me. And Father, I pray for those who need to be freed from the bondage that they're being held in. And Father, may your transformation take place in all of our lives. And may we then in turn tell our story. And we pray for hundreds and thousands to be impacted, to have an experience that changes them forever in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.